You all alright?
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Monday feels more bluesy than Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a bit of this.
Oh.
Is that?
Well,
is that the sound of? Is that the sound of Pog accelerating up Lara Dune?
Well, we are celebrating 1 year of the podcast, I think.
Oh, of course, yeah. Happy
birthday to us.
That's lovely. That's changed the mood, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
A whole year. Oh, definitely, yeah. Because I am thinking, Pog firing up the afterburners as well as our year. I mean, it's a great way to celebrate, isn't it? Because we won beautifully in hindsight.
Hold all those thoughts. Just enjoy the fireworks.
That's to say, Andy's trying to crack on with the podcast.
I think he's
bravely talk over the fireworks.
He is. He's got no fireworks. Yeah. It's sort of like crashing into my monologue here, isn't it?
Sorry. Oh, you've got a written thing. Go on then.
Of course, yes.
Well, I should say you are listening to For the Love of Pog, a podcast mostly about cycling. And shall I have another go up that line again?
Yeah, do. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
I should say
it is the birthday special.
You are listening to For the Love of Pog, a podcast mostly about cycling and not about fireworks. I am here.
Ray.
Loz is here.
Yes.
Ray.
Good.
Andy is here.
Ray.
Yes.
And Stu is here. Now, many, including maybe some on this very recording, thought it wouldn't happen. Many others thought, why have they bothered? But here we are, still going somehow after 1 year podcasting for the dear listener. Now, over the 24 episodes, we have chatted in our in the armchair and mildly informed way about races and about stages of races. And we've launched and ditched many features and quality items along the way too, from the peloton to policy and a love of Pog, a podcast mostly about cycling. And yesterday on the rolling roads of Wallonia, Pog himself joined in the celebrations by winning Liège-Bastogne-Liège.
Oh, I'm sorry, I ruined that.
In last year's race, he fell and broke his arm before he could go head to head with Remco. This time, it was billed as Pog versus Pol, but it wasn't really. Attacking early on La Redoute with 35 kilometres to go, Pog dropped everyone without even rising from his saddle. The rest couldn't get organised and he was away, a class above. His awesomeness in the Ardennes and everywhere else continues. One brutal attack, his second Liège, his sixth monument, his seventh win in 10 races this year and his 70th career win. So, after 1 year of the podcast, we are wishing ourselves a very happy birthday.
Oh, he couldn't contain
himself. That took a moment for Andy to register that one.
Oh, very good. Very, very good. Very good. Although I've got two points of order to raise about that. One
critique.
Is
critique. Okay.
Well, one is I'm not quite sure how many people are that bothered either way. And what was the other one? I've forgotten the other one now. Oh yeah, you said we were, was it mildly informed or something? I think that's overstating it.
Well, we have used the term ill-informed before, but
ill-informed,
I think we're a bit more of ill-informed. Weakly informed? I don't know.
Poorly informed.
Poorly informed.
It's more like a heavy interest.
Yeah, that's right.
As far as it goes.
Yeah,
just have a heavy interest.
We're interested, but not enough to know anything.
Well, to do the research.
To actually do the research. Yeah.
Yes. So we are, we're 1 year on and Pog did it again, didn't he? How do we feel about Liège-Bastogne-Liège?
Bastogne-Liège.
Bastard Liège.
Rob Hatchett.
Well, we did call it, in fact, last year, because obviously we started with this episode last year, we did call it Liège-Bastogne-Liège, partly because Loz and I have ridden 100 miles, 160 kilometres of that parkour, and it is a bastard. And he went on La Redoute, and that particular stretch, it's just vicious. It doesn't look much. And when you're on it, you start it, think it's okay, but it just seems to get worse. And you get to the top and you nearly think you're finished, and it just seems to go on and on and on. Mm. It is a little brute of a climb, that. But what do we think about that? Obviously, he just obliterated everyone, didn't he? How do we feel?
Good. I mean, he did, really. Yeah, he did. I don't know. I want to hear Stu on it.
Oh, you want to go, Stu, go first?
It's on early for Stu.
Yeah. Wow. Let's get Stu in first.
Well, of course, I didn't watch it. But I think it's great for him and for this podcast that he won. Now, what I was more concerned with was the weather. It looked very cold.
Very cold, yeah.
And a lot of the riders were wearing wearing tights, weren't they? Full gear.
Yeah.
But when they finished, a lot of them had taken them off. And I was thinking, where did they go? Where did those tights go? Yeah. Where did they put them? That's what crossed my mind.
Well, they're not allowed to chuck them away now, so they have to organise it and time it to give it to the car, which is, yeah.
And I thought maybe this well-informed podcast could actually inform me as to what they do with them.
I can give you a wild theory. That'd be the best as far as I can go. They give them to the car.
That would be in keeping.
Or, you know, the various drink stations, they'll have the helpers there and they try and time it with that, really. So they'll drop.
Or they give it to one of their teammates as well.
Mm. And then their teammate. Do they unzip the bottom bits whilst they're in full ride?
There is a very, very good video of Julian Allen Philip taking his leg warmers off whilst on the bike.
While riding, you see that's got to be hard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be difficult.
Well, did you see Pidders? Pidders did it. They were caught on camera. And it was a little bit of a panic for him because they did start to go a bit more full gas, and he hadn't quite got his right tight off. Oof. And they started going, and then he clipped back in and had it in his hand, and his shorts were still rolled up right top of his thigh. So he was having to cycle along to get back in position. It was quite amusing.
I mean, I find it hard enough to get them off without any shoes on, standing in the bathroom. So,
well, that was pre-hip operation. What about post-hip operation? You know,
well, at the moment, I can't get anything off anything, but it'll improve, I hope.
We'll come to that later in the episode, won't we, Andy? I've had cramp many times trying to get shoe covers off. They're the worst, aren't they?
You're trying to lift your leg up far enough for long enough. The reason I wanted to hear Stu first is because this also marks a year since Stu first said he'd get a microphone, isn't it?
How's that going, Stu?
Do we really want to go there?
I've got one. It's just stuck in Wales that my parents have in North Wales.
Well, it's not that much closer than Loz's, then, in that case.
Exactly.
Does anybody want to give anything to talk about the race?
Talk about the race.
I do you know what? I did a criminal thing.
I could always just make the monologues 15 minutes long and be done with it.
And we just laugh at the end. That's it. Yeah. I was watching it, and then when he went, and I watched it for about 10 minutes after he went, and then I just turned it off. Because I thought, there's no one going to catch him. It's done. It's a done deal again. And as much as I think it's brilliant, it, again, doesn't make for spectacular racing. Although, I'm a bit annoyed because MVP got third in the end, I think. And having been out of it for quite a long time, I didn't see how he managed to get third. So
He won it on the sprint. And so Bardet had gone, clipped away.
Well, that's one of the most surprising results is Bardet getting second, actually.
Well, Bardet and Healy went away, and then Bardet dropped Healy, and I think Healy was trying to work for Carapaz, who was quite active, and then Bernal was doing a lot of work as well. They're all trying to bring it back, and Van der Poel, just whether he didn't want to or didn't have it or just sort of sat in the wheels hoping it might come back. I mean, it never comes back to a sprint, does it? And then he won the sort of sprint for third place and was on the podium, kind of weirdly, really. And he'd done absolutely nothing in the race. I'm sure Carapaz and Healy were thinking, and Bernal were thinking, oh, right, great. You know, he just won that sprint. I don't know whether he'd put a burst of effort in, whether he would have got it back. I'm not sure he would have. I mean, Pogge was just too good. He went on La Redoute, and there was a couple of other climbs. One major one, that Fosson. I can't remember the full name.
Well, there was a moment, wasn't there, where Pidcock looked like he was able to stay with him for a bit. Healy was there as well. And then by the time it got to the second part of it, he just then extended it by about another 20 seconds, and that was it, gone.
And I think if he had to go again, he could have done. There was always something left at there.
So where did Pidcock finish in the end?
He was 10th,
in the group for third, so in the sprint with Van der Poel.
Okay. I think he was 10th. I was pleased. I mean, I thought there were some nice subplots. Obviously, Bardet, I thought it was nice to see Bernal having a few hits. You know, seems to be, you know, steadily improving from his horror accident. And there were a few, you know. Carapaz was the one that stayed with Pogge for longest, wasn't he?
Well, he did, but then he faded. He was
but
there.
But then he disappeared,
and then he really fell away quite quickly. Yeah.
Well, that was the trouble, isn't it? I think the amount of energy anybody had to burn to try and stay with him just meant that they probably therefore didn't really have anything much left. It was an exceptional performance. I mean, he's got extraordinary physiology. Because the other thing about those few cyclists that were able to keep up with him for the first few meters of his pulling away up La Redoute was that he was sitting in the saddle looking perfectly calm and, you know, beautiful kind of pedal rhythm, the usual thing. And the others were swinging like maniacs to try and keep up with him.
They were. And I'm not sure I can remember him sitting in the saddle for an entire climb and going away.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He doesn't normally do that. So it was as if he really measured his effort up there, going deeper than anybody else, or dealing with it better than anybody else. But I don't remember him ever doing that before. He seemed to be very controlled about what he was doing. Yeah.
But it's not like it averages 9%. It maxes at 15, but only very briefly. So it's hard, but it's not like you're throwing in an 18, 90% halfway through. So he doesn't need to.
I remember when we did it, that one ends in Fosson, which is the final climb with, I think, 15 kilometres to go. I found that one worse.
It was worse.
La Redoute. Yeah, it was worse. But maybe it came because we were just done in at that point. Yeah, we wanted it all to end. But it is the parkour is knackering. There's no flat, is there, Loz? It's just undulating the entire day.
The group we were with when we did it, and we had various reasons why we did the short one, sensible reasons. But friends did the full thing, and they finished in the dark. The place was being packed up. It was like they literally it took them over 11 hours, wasn't it?
I think it was 12 and a half, 13 hours pretty much.
Yeah.
4,000 meters or something, isn't it? I think it's insane. It's what's 4,000 meters, 12,000 feet. So, you know, it's like what's that mad one up north? Fred Witten. Is it called the Fred Witten?
Yes, the Fred
Witten Challenge. Yeah.
But I think that's got a sort of equivalent amount of climbing over 100 and something miles. It's mad. But yeah,
I mean, maybe that's why I do love watching it now. I love watching it more, having ridden some of those roads, knowing what it feels like. It does feel really cool to watch it. I think that's why I love Flanders so much as well. But this one, I didn't really get it. Really, it was always a race that you felt was a bit sort of, there's a script to it.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's a bit of a script now with when you've got Pogacar and Remco being so dominant. I mean, it would have been nice, wouldn't it, to see a fit Remco? I don't know whether he was, if he hadn't got injured in the Basque Country, whether he would have ridden Liège. I presume he would, because he was defending champion, wasn't he? So it would have been nice for that. But there is some just even more admiration, really, to think they race up it so hard. Because it's difficult to do just when you're just trying to get up it, let alone compete.
Well, it's been a good week actually, because the flesh well on was a bit better than usual, and with a good finish, exciting finish, and it's always got the last few minutes are always entertaining. It's just the rest of it that's usually crap. But the Tour of the Alps, which is a great race because that's the kind of northern. I mean, there's several things that call themselves Alp-ish type tours, but that's the Northern Italy one, and it's fantastic. It was a climber's race, and it was lots of, you know, not massively big names in it, but it was good animation and great stuff. Good racing every day. Beautiful scenery.
I thought that, just to finish on the Ardennes, I thought the Flesh Wallon Women's was a great race. And then Liège was a great women's race as well, because it was just a lot of protagonists still left in there. It could have gone either way. Two great finishes in both of those.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch live what was yesterday. Meaningless yesterday, if you're listening to this podcast in a few months' time. But because my sister was staying, but also because I was watching, there's a certain football match we might want to come on to, because that's been amusing. But anyway.
Stu, there's a Welsh winner for Flesh Wallon as well.
Was there?
Stevie Williams.
Crap, I love his total rejection of anything to do with cycling. It's great.
I gave him a chance there. I thought he might.
It was an opening, wasn't it?
To be fair, that he's let himself down there, because surely it's Welsh policy that he should know this.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. He would have had the memo, wouldn't he? I would have thought.
Out on the newsletter.
His email would have gone round.
He'll start talking about casual racism in a minute, though.
Actually, Loz brought that up last time. Stu didn't, you see. Yeah, Loz brought that in. But
There's always a bit of Welsh casual racism. Anyway, congratulations.
Right, have we finished with our race review? Shall I move us on?
I think we'd better move on.
Now, look, in previous episodes, we've had field notes, haven't we? Little recordings out on location from some far-flung and not-so-far-flung places. We've had field notes from Amsterdam, field notes from North Wales. And today we have some very special field notes from Hammersmith. Or maybe that should be Hippersmith. Before we hear them, Andy, anything you want to say by way of introduction?
Not really. I think it speaks for itself. No more to say.
Let's hear you.
Well, hi, pod friends. I promised you that when I finally got myself, or finally, when I first got myself back on some sort of bike, post my operation, which is 3 weeks ago today now, my hip replacement on my right side, I would I'd let you know. So I'm sitting on my Renfo static bike, which is a kind of poor person's watt bike or Peloton, which I got just precisely for this purpose. And if I managed to get quite easily, this is a very low step through, I managed to get quite easily through that. If I lean back to make sure that my hip doesn't rotate through 90 degrees, because you have to make sure it doesn't rotate any in a smaller angle than that, as it were, in relation to the torso, you know, so my hip's still quite open, I can turn the pedals without any problem. I'm going backwards because there's no resistance at all. But here we are, the first few pedals being turned only 3 weeks after the hip operation. And actually it feels quite good because there's no pain. It's just releasing the muscles a little bit. So I think a gentle few turns of the pedal every day for the next few days will be good as part of the recuperation.
There we go.
That was the cue out, the word recuperation. I should have said that at the beginning. Just so there wasn't the what we now know as the Hammersmith Bridge silence after the end of it.
So, first pedal strokes, how'd you feel?
Yeah, no, good. I've kept going a little bit more every day and doing obviously sort of more forward pedaling. I still have to keep very upright, so sitting right kind of back in the saddle, just to keep the hip nice and open. But yeah, it's good. It actually does, it's relatively pain-free to do it. And it's good because the muscles kind of get a bit tight and stiff after a while. So yeah, it's good for that. It's just nice to turn the pedals, to be honest. But I really am looking forward to getting out on a bike again. It's a few weeks away, I think, yeah. But
so are you doing it every day?
Really good. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of that every day, and I sort of do a 10-minute stint at the moment a couple of times a day, or at least once. I did once today because I did a walk out as well, so don't want to overdo it. There's no point in that. But I just love to get out on the bike because it's you know. Well, I'd say the weather's getting better, but actually it's colder than it was in the middle of winter, and it's still raining quite frequently. But yeah, it'd be lovely to get out before too long. But it was a few weeks away, I think.
Got to ask you, was there any, when you got on the bike there, was there any fear going through your mind?
No, not really. The fortunately, the design of it means that the bit, the kind of middle bit, the step through bit, which is the cover for the kind of, you know, flywheel or whatever is in there, is quite it's all quite robust and strong, and I can stand on that with the good leg to get into position on the saddle, so then I could just don't have to put any weight on the operated on leg when I'm kind of maneuvering onto the bike, and then just, you know, start turning the pedals very gently. It's very low risk because it's a good motion. There's no impact or weight or pressure going on, really. So it just moves the muscles, just stretches the muscles a bit, which is good.
I think. And you said they're obviously desperate to get on the road bike. Well, how many weeks do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks today. So, I mean, I wouldn't think it would be for another 4 to 6 weeks at least, probably, because
well, I mean, we need it's to plan not, that
worth,
in.
Not worth hurrying, but, you know, not worth going too soon. I've got the consultant with the consultation with a surgeon in, what's that, 16th of May. So that's sort of 3 weeks away. So I'll be talking to him about that and seeing how it's going. But they'll x-ray me and see how the joints settle down. I hope that's all okay. And then hopefully we'll get a bit more of a green light to do more stuff. Yes, Brompton first, I imagine.
We definitely have to plan to meet up for a ride.
Yeah, a hip ride. I won't be able to go uphill, though. You have to keep on the flat at first because you don't want to put any pressure through it. So no Richmond Park, or just up and down a flat section of Richmond Park.
Still seems incredible to me, you know, under the knife less than a month ago? No.
Well, 4 weeks today.
Yeah. And then you're talking about, you know, in 4 to 6 weeks' time getting back on a bike outside again. That's quite extraordinary to me.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, it is extraordinary if it all goes well. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I do have to be careful not to rush it. But yeah, it is amazing, really, isn't it? Amazing procedure. Fingers crossed. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But yeah. Definitely going okay at the moment.
Do we have any other questions for Andy on his on the hip?
I'd like to know.
Move us on again.
Q&A.
Well, he sounded posher when he was doing his his tone of voice changed slightly when he was in
his, oh yeah, his field notes voice on.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, can you do it for us now?
No.
It was almost like a bit of a sort of mansplaining kind of voice. I don't
know. Oh dear, that's awful. Was it the Hammersmith Bridge voice?
I think it was. Yeah, it was like a policy voice, maybe, when you
policy
were talking.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, he couldn't go from policy parlor to field notes, could he? He couldn't switch features. That was the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it, exactly. yeah.
The many hats he has to wear.
I mean, it's tough. Yeah, it's
tough. Right, shall I move us on again?
Yes, please do.
Right, so last time we talked about Loz's epic charity ride coming up, the London to York. But before he can actually ride the London to York, he does need a bike. So, do you want to remind the listener what on earth was going on with your bike and microphone repatriation?
Do I have to check back on the previous pod to listen?
What's going on with your car and your microphone?
So you'd be pleased to know that obviously you can sound through the richness of my voice. I'm back on the lovely microphone that I have.
Oh, that's true. I've noticed.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the microphone is back in action. The car was repatriated after its lovely trip across from Wales through England with an overnight stay in Warsaw somewhere in a lockup. Why not? Brought back to a garage in London, and we had to go and empty it because the bike was obviously still in there. So it made it back. We got everything. We were able to get everything out. The true horror of riding your bike around Welsh roads. It's very rural. It's very farmy. Not cleaning your bike before you come back, having your bike being in the back of a car for nearly 2 weeks, week and a half, and then opening the car. It's a bit smelly. It was of the Welsh roads.
Ooh.
So that wasn't great. So yeah, the bike has then returned. The car is still broken, but the bike is back. So yeah, that's the story of repatriation.
So the bike is back and the car's on drive.
No, the car is still at the garage being looked at.
Okay, in London.
In London. At least it's close to home.
Why did it go to Warsaw, Wrexham to Warsaw? What's that?
Because of the repatriation was that they don't tow it all the way back for that distance. So it has to be stopped and then someone else has to pick it up. I don't know what the rules are. A couple of hours of driving, they have to turn around and that person has to go away again and then someone else has to pick it up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's crazy. That'll be your insurance rules or whatever.
And the prep then, when's the ride's next week? So what's the latest on the prep?
The ride is this week. The ride is Wednesday. So
2 days.
Yeah. So yeah, the story is now, obviously I got the bike back and it was it needed to go and have a little bit of service anyway. Then I couldn't get it anywhere into service. Panicking like mad because it was in a bit of a state. Obviously, I did ride it. I cleaned it and then rode it on Sunday, last sort of little ride. And it felt all right. But when I was cleaning it, thinking, oh, there's a ton of things wrong with this. And it's the usual bad planning about to go on a long ride, need to look at your bike and get it serviced, which I hadn't done. So then I was panicking, thinking, who can get it in? And I couldn't get it in anywhere. But Josh from Atelier de Velo in East Dulwich is my hero.
Oh, the new shop.
The new shop in East Dulwich. That's Atelier de Velo. Sorted it out. And he's played a blinder. And I picked it up this evening. And he had to do quite a bit of fixing on it that needed stuff doing. He squeezed it in. And it's all nice and shiny. It's got new things on it.
Well, you know, in the normal way where we have to obviously big up a potential sponsor and then
we can't this one
dash their
no,
hopes.
We're not. I'm not.
Well,
no.
I'm struggling. I cannot think of anything negative.
Well. So. Let's ride. Let me go on the ride first.
I can think of something negative.
And then when the moment that, you know, the chain snaps, or I change gear, or something happens with it, then
the brakes fail.
Yeah.
What you need to do though is not go in that shop in the next 24 hours to have any negative experience, don't you?
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
I'll stay
away from it. I won't even Google him. I'll just stay away.
So yeah, the bike is back, which is great because I was panicking about that, and now I'm fettling. I'm doing my own fettling, so I have some decisions to make. So I've just changed. I had the hoods on my brakes. They were falling apart. So I've changed the hood, the hoods on the brakes, which is, I've managed to do that without any mess ups. But the big dilemma is whether to change the bar tape, which I often do. And Matthew knows this. I've done this before on going on bike trips, and I'll start it and then I'll mess it up and then I'll get angry and have to do it again. And yeah, but I've said to myself, I should not do it this time. So I'm not going to do it, even though it's looking a bit tatty.
Yeah, no, that's just.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't fettle anymore. Just be happy with it as it is.
And have you decided whether you're going to start your ride from Knightsbridge? Because we talked before about whether it's going to be a place to place record. Well, not have a record, but obviously do a place to place. So properly London to properly York.
No? So I can't. You know, I've not submitted it to the secretary of that.
No, I know that, but at least you can say you did do the proper distance.
I will go there and I will do a dispatch from the start line, just before. So I'm planning to go and do a little start from the start for that particular route. And obviously I'm not doing but then we'll add up the hours and see how close I can get to. What was it? 7 hours 59 for the
something ridiculous, wasn't it?
It might be slightly more than that, shall we say?
And how's the? I'm off to the bike. How's the body? That's it.
We'll
that's it. That's all there, isn't it? That's all we need to know.
Yeah. I mean, I've done enough. I've done enough to make it not feel really arduous. I've no idea. There's 16 other riders, so I've no idea what they're like. I could turn up and they could be all road warriors and I'm clinging on at the back, which could be fun. So we'll see. Or I could be leading people out for little sprint finishes and, you know.
Yeah, you'll ride into it. You'll be by day three.
Do I try and take each day or do I go for the overall? Am I going for GC or am I taking some stages?
Oh, well, let's see again, you know. If you drop 3 minutes or something on the first day, then you know you'll be chasing stages for the next 2 days.
Or do I just go for the? Should I go for the intermediates?
Yeah, that's right. Roglify.
Is there a King of the Mountains jersey on this one?
I hope so.
What are the stages, Loz?
The stages, they are, I shall give you them to you now. They are London to Huntingdon, Huntingdon to Lincoln, and then Lincoln up to York. And I don't have a garden, so I'm just going to be following. It's going to be windy.
Windy and flat.
Yeah, yesterday riding, it was not fun. It was very windy yesterday. Yeah, that's the routes. Rain, it's looking wet. It's looking wet, that's the downside.
Have you got your removable tights?
I've got removable tights, yep, definitely. So maybe I could give that a go. Maybe that could be one of the dispatches. I will, if the weather brightens, I'll attempt to take off my tights while cycling.
What, video at the same time? That'd be awesome, yeah. I think you should definitely do that.
I'll get someone else to video it as I'm going along, yeah.
Hey, you should be able to do it because you're quite good at kind of, you know, zipping up your jacket and getting food out of your pocket without your hands on the handlebars and that sort of quite pro stuff, aren't you?
I am pro, Andy, thank you, yes.
Yeah. What food in that respect?
I haven't thought about food. I used to buy loads of gels. I haven't even bothered this time. There will be supported stuff on the route, but I'm not too fussed with gels. I might make some flapjacks. Take me on flapjacks. Always good.
Key thing is, are you looking forward to it?
I am. I'm really stressed out at work. There's loads going on. But as someone pointed out to me, he said, well, just, you know, go and have a nice 3 days riding your bike. How lovely is that?
Very lovely you won't indeed.
You won't think about any of the stress at work after about 20 miles.
Yeah. I'm riding away from London.
Yeah.
But I should do I was intending to also do like a pothole update as I travel across country.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's loads that I could be, loads of dispatches I could be bringing.
It's good this. You're sounding more enthusiastic about the content than about the ride, which is great. I feel a special coming on here with all the little bits stitched together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have got one of those little fluffy mics, shouldn't I, for wear around your neck?
Why have you not got one of those?
I thought the pod might issue me one, but they didn't.
Loz, you can borrow mine if you want.
one of many that you have.
I've got a selection down here.
I might have to move us on. Well, good luck with it. And we, we're looking forward to all the lovely content along the way.
Go with the blessings of Pog.
Yes. Right, chap, does anybody have any AOB? Andy?
Hammersmith Bridge update? No, you don't want. Nobody wants that, do they? No.
Stu?
No, I'm good. Thank you, Matthew.
We haven't heard enough from Stu for me, though. I want an AOB out of Stu tonight. Because all I've heard is him telling us he doesn't watch stuff.
He's dominated this podcast today.
Yeah.
Loz, an AOB?
No.
Well, I did have some AOB.
I'm going to save it.
I am going to save it.
Well, you can't do that. That's kind of teasing us with your AOB.
Yeah, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
We'll take a vote.
Okay. Who wants to hear my AOB? Stu?
No.
Hold on. That's one vote then. Loz? Okay.
Nah.
Andy?
No.
Bastards. Right then.
Was it any good though?
it was relatively serious. It wasn't a funny thing.
No, I don't want to hear that.
No?
No.
Well, do you want to tease it up for next time?
It was about a story I saw, you may have all saw, about cycling in Paris. That was all.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, so should I save it for next time?
Now I'm interested.
Was this? Well, can't you do that in that's like a one line, isn't it?
Okay. So cycling is now more popular than driving in Paris, right? Study found that Parisians use bikes for 11.2% of their trips inside the city centre, whereas for cars, 4.3% of journeys. So it's a big increase on 20 since 2010. It was 2010 in Paris. It was 3%. Now it's 11.2% for cycling. And just a bit of a
well, Stu, this is your
well, it's bike, bike geek car. Yeah,
well, this is car.
I'm disgusted in this. This is gets you know demoted to AOB. This should have been. well,
the Matt thing is,
Matt wants well, to do this point, little,
like, well, well,
oh, cycling down the parquet and this, that, and the other, and the real important stuff gets put into AOB.
Well, you could have brought it up during the main night. Well,
casual, we're going to be here for 20 minutes now.
Okay,
casual French racism.
On the WhatsApp group, you said I've got nothing to raise. So, you know, that's all I was doing. Do you not want to hear the rest of it?
Yeah. No.
I'm interested now. Go on.
I finished.
Stu's in a big grump about it now.
This should be a separate item.
I said I was going to hold it over and they wanted to hear it.
Yeah. Well,
let's come back to it. I think
listeners are going to be, you know, scraping at the bit to get the next episode.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to you introducing that quality item next time, then, Stu.
I think it's top of the agenda next week.
Top of the agenda.
Tune in for that, folks, listeners. More facts.
So much is going.
It should be good.
Right, should we leave it there then? Should we say goodbye to the listener?
I think we have. Yeah.
Say au revoir.
Do you want some more fireworks if Blair's out?
Okay, bye.
Should we say bye? Bye-bye.
Bye.